He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, right? Recovery for the sight of the blind, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. When I look at this passage, it speaks of restoration. Restoration, to understand restoration, restoration simply means to restore to its original design. That's what restoration means, right? But here, Jesus tells us this, that when the gospel that he preaches and the purpose that he comes here on earth is to bring restoration on three levels. First, on the spiritual level. Now, most of us know, yeah, spiritual level means Jesus set me free from my sins, he died on the cross, and I get to go to heaven. But I'd like to suggest to you that spiritual freedom, there's a little more than that. Spiritual freedom means to break free from the oppression that the enemy has for you, right? The lies that you believe. Like I might even suggest demonic oppression and influence over your life. Like Jesus cast out demons to be spiritually free. It may sit, maybe, in order to be restored, there needs to be a casting out demons. There is another level here that Jesus speaks of, which is physical. Right? We see out throughout Scripture that Jesus, when he prayed for people, he prayed for healing. Physical healing, restoration of the physical body. There is also another part, which here is emotional restoration, the restoring of our emotions. Now, for most of us, we believe that emotions is the realm of psychology. But I'd like to suggest to you that emotion is not the realm of psychology. Emotion is also the realm of the gospel. God can bring restoration to our emotions, the lies that we believe in. Right, in most churches, and in most Alliance churches, if you've been in the Alliance long enough to know that we believe in the fourfold gospel. We believe that Jesus is our Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. But there are two of those fourfold gospel most churches, Alliance churches, do not practice: Sanctifier and Healer. This is part of who we are as an Alliance church. That we believe that Jesus heals, that Jesus brings restoration. This is Jesus' purpose here on earth, is to restore us spiritually, physically, and emotionally. And guess what? We are also likewise, after we experience this restoration, we're supposed to bring restoration to others, right? Because Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you, right? And then he says in Acts chapter 1:8, he says, all power has been given to me, and I give unto you. When the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power. And then you'll be my witness to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Right? This is what Jesus tells us. That this first, you and I, we must begin to experience the gospel that brings restoration to us. And as we experience the gospel that brings restoration to us, we are therefore now to help bring restoration to others. Our identity, I'd like to suggest to you, isn't the one that we believe of it right now. Because it is distorted and it's broken by sin. That the person that God created us to be is beautiful. It's different than the person that we are now. I'd like to suggest to you as well that this restoration, this is what God longs for us. This is what God longs and desires for each and every single one of us. To experience the power of the gospel breaking through the lies that we believe about ourselves. Yeah, we believe a lot of lies about ourselves. I'm not good enough. I'm not seen. Nobody loves me. I'm weird. When we look at ourselves, we feel incapable. We feel defeated. That's Satan. That's the brokenness that we carry. And here's the good news. The gospel of Jesus, the restoring of power of Jesus, he longs to bring wholeness to us. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of restoration. I know most of you are wondering, I mean, when there's a new pastor come aboard, you're wondering what kind of church this church is going to be. I know all of you are like, oh, it's going to going to be the same old boring thing. Well, I'm a little younger, a little more hipper, you know, so it may not be the same old thing. I'd like to suggest to you, and I'd like to say this is my desire. My desire is that we will be a church that pursues the restoration of Jesus and leads others to restoration. I long for our church to be a church that restores identity through Jesus for the sake of the world. I long for our church to be a place where people will feel safe, that they can pursue the restoration that God has for them. I long for us to be a church where people take the time to listen to each other, take the time to walk and journey with each other. I like to be a church where each and one of us truly experience the radical love of Jesus. To know that you are deeply loved. To know that you have purpose. You have identity. To know the true self that God has made you to be. That is restoration. And that is what I long for our church to be. That is what I long for our church to go to. But don't get me wrong, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time for you and I to be open and honest with each other. Because there's stuff underneath the soul. What I've learned about ministry through ministry is that most of us like to talk about sin and we just say, don't sin anymore. But we don't often discuss about what are the reasons that cause these sin. Yes, yeah, we're sinful beings, but there's a reason why we continue to go back to the same sins. Some of us are coping because there's some deep pain inside of us. Some of us are running to different vices because that's the only way that can numb the pain that is in our heart. Some of us feel alone and we make poor choices because we have we don't have a good proper image of ourselves. And so we make poor choices. We try to get fancy jobs because we believe that if we attain these things, that it will give us the status we need so that we could begin to feel better about ourselves. I like to suggest to you that no, none of those things will. Only the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have to pursue this. This is what I want our church to be, to pursue this, to pursue wholeheartedly the restoration power of the gospel of Jesus. It took me 41 years to figure this out. In the last 15 years, I've been on an intent pursuit of really grounding my identity in Christ Jesus, and I can say with confidence today, I know who I am. I know that I'm deeply loved by God. I am not invisible. I am not alone. I'm loved. I'm loved by God. I am worthy. I am good enough. It's not self-talk that I tell myself. It is the truth that is grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is what I long for our church to be. And, you know, this week I've been trying to settle down in church. Been unpacking my books, you know, so they make me look edumacated. You know, just so people don't think that, you know, I'm just a young, crazy guy that, I should let you know I got some education. And I'm smart, I think, sometimes. I rearranged my office just to let you know that change is happening, right? It's intentional. You come hang out in my office, you know, take a look. It's cool. It's more inviting, right? Just let you know it's more inviting. Come check it out. And so I spend this week also getting time to get to know people because I believe getting to know people is so important. This week, I got to hang out with Dennis. You know, we went to drink some iced tea, not coffee. And we were just chit-chatting. It was a great time. I spent like almost 2 hours with him. This week as well, I get to hang out with Kaysen. I spent more than 2 hours with him. And, you know, Kaysen's awesome. I don't know if you guys realize this, but, you know, I don't want to bash you, Kaysen. But, you know, Kaysen has a heart for people. I don't know if you guys realize, he has a heart for people. And what I mean by a heart for people, he genuinely cares for people. And so I was hanging out with Kaysen, and we were out for lunch, and we were eating lunch, and we were just chit-chatting. And, you know, Kaysen knows how to strike up a conversation, right? You guys, if you didn't know, you should get to know him more, right? Kaysen knows how to strike up a conversation. And so, you know, I know how to be a good listener, so we're great. And so we were chit-chatting, enjoying lunch, and You know, Kason was sharing about his friend Ben, and I just met Ben last Sunday, actually. And I got to know him. I said, wow, he has a great personality, pretty charming boy, you know, young man. And I said, hey, he's great, cool. And then he was telling me a little bit about Ben, and it's like, okay, Ben's struggling a little bit. I said, oh, that's cool, all right. And then he said, Pastor, you think we have time to maybe swing by his place and maybe if you could encourage him a little bit? I was thinking to myself, you know, if I don't go, I wouldn't be a very good pastor. So it's not like I can't say no. I mean, imagine I say, yo, no, man. I just don't want to go, man. It's uncomfortable for me. I mean, I think he would look at me like, all right, you need to go. Right? No. But so I said, hey, I got to go. I mean, what kind of pastor would I be if I didn't go? So I went. I had no idea what's going to go on. I mean, we're going to go in. And next thing you know, we see his mom. I'm like, this is awkward. I mean, you go visit someone, and then you see their mom, right? I mean, that's awkward, right? Right? And you could see right away, mom was concerned. Because his mom was stressed, concerned, because Ben was going through something. And I was so surprised. I was just sitting down talking to him. Mom just got the chair and pulled it right next to us. I was like, whoa, even more awkward? Okay. And just being a mom, she was just sharing her heart out, like how concerned she was and how she was trying to encourage. I said, that's great. And so I was just sharing with Ben, and I think the mom really took it to heart too as I was sharing and it eased the mom's heart. And we were chit-chatting, and I sensed something was going on. I knew something was happening in Ben that was deeper than the issue at hand. And I think the mom picked up on it, and the mom said, let me go take a walk. So you guys can, you know, talk about stuff that, you know, maybe you not feel comfortable with me here. So the mom picked on it, she left, and we were chit-chatting. And, you know, and I asked Ben, I'm like, Ben, why are you doing this? He's like, well, you know, it feels good to have the attention. So I sat back there for a second, and I took a step back, and I said, interesting. I said, the attention. I said, Ben, you're a handsome young man. I mean, seriously, he's a handsome young man. Right? And I said, you have a very, you know, charming personality. I mean, it's very easy to connect with you. Why do you feel this need to feel special? And then he said, because I feel invisible. I said, aha. So I said to him, I asked him, so when did you start feeling this way? Is there any memories? You know, you may have of this. And he looked at me and he said, yeah. I said, I know, you know, I've been doing this for a while. And I said, you know, kind of share with me, walk me through it. What's going on? He shared with me that when COVID was around and people were starting to go back to church, it was youth group, and he was sitting alone by himself and nobody paid attention to him, nobody talked to him. And at that moment, he felt this deep sense of loneliness, that it was invisible, that it was no one. And at that moment, I knew that Satan had whispered a deep lie into his life and that he had believed it. So I said, let's pray. I said, you know, and then I give him a little background, a little, you know, education. I said, theology 101 tells us this. God is everywhere, right? Yeah, of course, God is everywhere. I said, so if God is everywhere, that means he's in the past, he's in the present, and he's in the future. And he's in it all at once. I said, I'm not smart enough to explain to you how he's there all at once, but trust me, he's there all at once. If he's there all at once, guess what? He was there when this was taking place. In our prayer, we're just going to ask Jesus what he was doing while you were experiencing this deep sense of loneliness, of feeling invisible. So we began to pray. And as we prayed, we invited God just to show, you know, Jesus show himself and show us what he was doing. And then so I asked Ben, I said, Ben, you getting anything? What are you feeling? I said, I'm feeling like a lot better. Like this sense of assurance. And I said, Ben, I got a picture as we were praying. I said, I got this picture of this hand putting on your shoulder. And I said to her, I believe that's Jesus' hand showing to you that you are not invisible to him, that he sees you, and that he loves you, and that you are special, that you are valued. This feeling that you feel of loneliness, of being invisible, that's a lie from God, a lie from the enemy. What Jesus wants to tell you is that you are deeply loved and you're special. Do you know what happened at this moment? He didn't look at me like I was crazy. He started crying. That's the healing that comes with the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That a pain that he experienced, and God brought healing. That's the restoration that God wants for every single one of us. To no longer walk in the lies that Satan continues to whisper to us daily, that you're inferior, you're nobody, God doesn't love you, look at the things that you've done. But God wants to restore us. That's Jesus' purpose here on earth. That's what he came to do. To restore us to the way that God originally designed us to be. That is the power of the gospel. And as we restore other people, as we experience this restoration, people see it. We naturally just share the work that God has done in our life. And that is bringing restoration to other people. You're wondering what kind of church this church will be. But I'd like you to imagine along with me what this church would look like if each one of us experienced this restoration. Imagine what that would look like for your life. Imagine you're no longer running to the things that you're coping. By the way, some of us cope by shopping. Some of us cope by drinking and doing alcohol and, you know, pornography, etc. Some of us cope by exercising. Some of us cope by filling our life with different needs, different things, just to drown out those lies that we believe about ourselves. But imagine what your life would look like if you experience the healing that comes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? As a person standing on the other side in the midst of restoration, I can tell you, it's a beautiful thing. I am restored. As you will get to know me, I'm glad to share some of the lies I believed about myself and the choices and decisions that led me to. But imagine what your life would look like if you experienced the restoration power of Jesus. And imagine what this church would look like if every single one of us had experienced that. You guys would actually like each other. You guys would actually like to hang out with each other, really listen to each other, get to know each other, really care for each other. This community won't be a community in which is based on shame, on what you should or should not do. But it will be a community in which is inviting, welcoming. Imagine what this church would look like. Be a very exciting place. Imagine what this church will look like when we start living in that restoration. There's one thing I know, is that when the church is at a healthy place, when the people of God are in a healthy state, God wants to bring in people to experience the same thing. So I'm not concerned about if this church will grow. It will grow. Because people want the restoration of God. When we experience restoration, naturally, we're just going to tell other people about the restoration that we experience. So imagine what this church will become. I want you to dream along with me. It's a beautiful place. It will be a beautiful place. But guess what? It starts with you, individually. Pursuing the restoration power of the gospel of Jesus. I'll be glad to walk with you. I'm here. I've walked many people through it. I've walked through it myself. And I long to be that person to be able to walk side by side with you. Not here to condemn you, because I know what brokenness looks like. I know what pain looks like. But I also know what it means to be a child of God. What it means to be affirmed by God Himself. What it means to be healed. Let us pray. Jesus, we are so thankful for your presence in our life. It's so easy to hear different words and to hear about different possibilities of life and what that may look like. But God, help us to be able to experience that. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll come, that you'll open up our heart. I know that some of this may sound scary, but God, would you remove the fear that we have to know that we are deeply loved by you and that you long to pursue after us, that you long to give us wholeness. God, show us a picture right now of yourself. Help us, Lord, to see what you're doing. And we just simply invite your presence now to come. God, we just simply want to rest in this place right now. To be able to experience what you're showing us.
We have any newcomers today? No? So let's move on. Congratulations to Pastor Lewis, who passed his ordination exam. His ordination ceremony will be announced soon. No announcements. Wow. Have a blessed week, everybody. Auntie Betty blesses you all. Have a good one. You're dismissed.